This year, move the dirt and make an impact by signing up for Power Athlete Program to crush your goals. Join our tens of thousands of athletes around the globe already empowering their performance as power athletes. For less than a dollar a day, get our world-class coaching delivered straight to the palm of your hand. Our programming is performance-driven and goal-oriented. Finely tuned through my firsthand experience playing the NFL and subsequent decade-long coaching and collaborating with some of the baddest motherfuckers on the planet. As a special time offer for the month of January, pay up front for a full year of training. We'll give you a free 15-minute consult with myself or one of the crew, plus your choice of nutrition protocol, putting you on the best path for success. Visit powerathlete.com/training and start today. Those who start tomorrow never get shit done. Start fucking today.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into Power Athlete Radio, featuring the crew. Where a former pro football player and a D3 All-Star use strength and conditioning as an excuse to talk about anything but. Now here's John and Tex.
The problem is it's Joe Rogan's memory is way better than mine, since he's just smoked a lot of pot, which has allowed his memory to flourish and almost grow like a potted houseplant. And also, Jamie's just really quick on shit.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Jamie's like Tex squared times 10. And then 100 points smarter and better on the computer.
Tex and I combined, we got
Does she have an iPhone
I want to take this
Android?
Computer away.
Oh, you don't want to be
I want to stop fact checking you, and we can put that on Charles.
Charles can only do one thing, and we still haven't figured out what that one thing is. He's like, what was the movie with Billy Crystal? Where
Jesus
he's like,
Christ.
One thing, Rough Riders?
City Slickers?
City Slickers.
City Slickers,
I knew it was two words. I'm just kidding on that one. But you remember, yeah, City Slickers. He's like, you got to be good at one thing. You got to find that one thing. He's like, what is it? It's different for everybody. So we just haven't found what Charles' one thing is. Is it growing a beard?
There's a lot of guys that are good at that.
You know, the internet is full of dudes whose entire shtick, mantra, their identity is around the beard. And that makes me a little nervous. If the greatest thing that defines you is your beard, I just got to think you got to keep searching.
You just offended half the United States military.
So what you're saying is that the only reason that they're in the military is they can grow a beard?
I said only half.
Well, no, the veterans. So in the military, the only guys that are allowed to have beards. Yeah, the only guys who are allowed to have beards were relaxed grooming standards were for like SOCOM.
Badass dudes.
Well, for guys that were, you know, tier one kind of, you know, got relaxed grooming standards. Everybody else, clean shaven.
So, excuse me, you just offended the veteran community.
Yes. 100%.
All of them.
As a military spouse, I'm quite offended.
Well, I mean, look at the guys from Black Rifle Coffee. They all have beards, but they all got weak chins.
Not Evan. Oh, Evan.
How would you know if Evan has a strong chin? I've never seen him unshaven.
I don't know. Get him on the podcast.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll text him.
Okay.
He sends me like a weekly dick pic. I don't know. It's usually not his dick, but it's weird. I'm like, it's like a Twizzler. Oh, shit. Hey, guys. What's happening? Sorry. For those of you guys who don't know, you've tuned into the premier podcast of strength conditioning. Where we
mid-conversation.
Yeah, where we just drop you in mid-conversation into our fucking rants. And we have the pleasure of having our nutrition ninjas join us so we can hammer out a few of these nutrition questions that hit the hotline and also to just percolate in through the different streams of contact that we get. I mean, it's text messages, DMs, Instagrams, emails.
And
we have training programs with feeds, team feeds, daily feeds. I mean, there are so many different inputs, outputs in terms of trying to reach out to us that if you can't get a hold of us,
you ain't trying.
No, you ain't trying. I mean, the only thing that I'm not responding to is smoke signals. So if you're on a hillside with a fire and a wool blanket, I'm probably not going to see those. Maybe. Depends on where they are.
Yeah. Local. Well, today's question came from a consultation that I recently took from an individual that signed up for an annual training membership.
You mean you did a consultation with him?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Or he did a consultation with
me. With we? No, with me. No, you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And along with his annual training.
Well, let's give a little background. So for the month of January, we've been doing a deal where if you sign up for a year in advance, do the once a year big sign up, you get to basically get pay for 10 months, get 2 months free. And in the month of January, we're giving you a 15-minute consult with a Power Athlete coach. Individuals on this podcast, Sam and Rob, myself, and Tex. Mm-hmm. And we also get a nutrition template of that your choice.
Correct. And the individual in question.
Well, what was good is for the first couple, Tex just dove right on the grenade like I'd like to see him do. He's like, hey, I'll take care of all these. Because I just think you're feeling lonely and just wanted to talk to people.
Well, it's so cold in here. I need to get on the phone just to get outside the office and get some sunlight.
I walked out of the office yesterday to go up to the house. I had to take a call with Cashy Zendo. And like Tex is like wandering around in the pasture. I'm like, you okay? Like I didn't know if like he was getting bad news. I just didn't know what was going on. Like normally, and he's like, "I'm on a consult." I'm like, "Oh, smart to walk around in the sun, not in this Arctic frigid where we are right now."
Yes, and working on that. It, yeah, and part of it aligned with their training. This particular individual, Jack Streeter for life. Mm. However, 2.5-year-old son keeps him up at night, disturbing sleep, and then
those selfish sons of bitches.
Yeah, in line with that is Alaska native, so not a lot of sun. So
does he still live in Alaska?
Uh-huh. Feeling the effects of lack of sunlight.
Don't you find it a little odd, like just like the mental thought of like the dude in like the dark Alaska, you know, they get like 20 hours of darkness, 4 hours of sunshine, just in his garage or a small gym, sub-Arctic temperatures, and the guy just wants to fucking slay Jack Street. And he's got a 2-year-old that's just crying, killing his sleep because it's always dark. I mean, how much vitamin D a day is that guy taking? Like 100,000 IUs?
Not enough. And he has the wherewithal through following Power Athlete Radio training programs to realize, Jack Street, at this moment in my life, I need to switch to grindstone. Mm. Making an intelligent training decision. And that was part of the consult. So he signed up for a year of grindstone knowing, all right, this is where I am in my life with my young child.
You know, Rob and Sam, both parents like myself. The one interesting thing about kids is they are more than happy to throw a monkey wrench in things like vacations, date night, and training times. Mm-hmm. I mean, Sam, how many times have you been like, hey, I'm going to get this training in today, and then it just all goes out the window, and it's like 10 o'clock at night, and you're like, ooh, I totally forgot to train, and I forgot to shower, and make lunches. Oh, shit.
Yeah, I had a client this morning come and he brought his. So we had a 9-month-old and a 2-year-old in the gym and he's trying to get in his session. And so I'm just like holding like 3 kids. It was very awkward, but he got in his session. I don't know when I'm going to get to train, but
there needs to be like a tip jar at the gym.
I was just thinking of it as like an isometric hold. You know, I'm like, I am so jacked right now. Isometric hold. I had a 30-pound because he's like the biggest 11-month-old. And then Isla's about 18. So I just switched sides, like uneven farmer walk, you know.
No. It's amazing. So the story my mom loves to remind me of, I was like a 10.5-pound baby and I was 30 pounds at 6 months. Mm. So my mom took me to the doctor and the doctor like flipped out. Like, first of all, you're going to hurt your back. And second of all, people were like, why are you pushing that kid around in the stroller? He should be walking. So my mom's like, she's like, I never felt as strong when I had to pick you up 100 times a day. So here we are 40 plus years later. And she's still reminding, you remember how big you were? I had to pick you up. I'm like, I got you, Mom. Don't worry about it.
And the part of the question within the consult, like we aligned our training and with the annual training, you receive a nutrition protocol.
Would you give
with the consultation? Well, he wanted to do keto and I felt that was the most appropriate because he still has muscle goals, but we're not necessarily getting after like leaning didn't necessarily sound where he was today. Bulking, he's certainly not hitting the training volume to match the caloric intake. So we aligned with keto as the goal. And some of his questions right off the bat, like he's experienced carnivore diet and just limiting his carbs. But he was curious on the carb cycling within the keto protocol and just, hey man, where do I get started with meals? Like what are some meal prep tips?
You mean for the keto or for the or for the carb explosion that is your weekends?
Well, the experience of both. So aligning meal prep during the week and then, hey, what's in bounds? What is in bounds in terms of carbs on weekends? So opening this up to the team here as what is the experience on the protocol? How should he get started? Because this is new to him as well, coming from a, you know, a soft paleo typical approach.
Well, I mean, the first time when Dr. DePasquale, 1999, throws me this diet, we did, I think it was probably better part of like, I want to say, we have it in terms of what, like a 10-day kind of a acclimation period, but I think we did a month. So it was pretty much like 40% protein and then the rest made up in fat. And I did that for weeks. And then all of a sudden, like he hit me and was like, I remember he called me or sent me an email. And it was like, hey, tomorrow after you train, I want you to get up tomorrow I want you to train. I don't want you to eat anything. So I want you to fast, get a good workout in fast. And then I want you to go find the best Italian restaurant you can. And I want you just to like order everything and go ham. And so I sat down and I ordered like this big thing, like pasta for two with meatballs and like a pizza. And I'm sitting at this little table by myself and the lady's like, oh, are you, you know, like I order. And she's like, well, should I wait for the other people to come before I bring the food? And I'm like, no, it's just for me. And this lady like gives me big eyes. And like to the point where she like went in the back and like got like the her mom.
Are you bored? You need a magazine? Like,
yeah. Well, no. Okay. So, you know, the story is I'm living in Philadelphia. I rupture my patellar tendon. So I'm like by myself. I'm rehabbing. And this might even have been in 2000. So this might have been off season. This wasn't during the season. Like my girlfriend lives back in California. I'm living by myself. It's dark. It's Philly. The rest of the team hadn't come back yet. They don't come back till March. So this is probably like late February. I roll in and I do this. And the lady's like, okay. So she starts bringing this food and I started eating. And it was like the funniest thing in that I started like, as I was eating, not getting full. So I ate through all this pasta, all these big meatballs, hammered this whole pizza. And I was like, you got anything else? So she just kept bringing food. And at first I was like, oh, I'm fine. And then I just started sweating. Like to the point where like, I had to take my jacket off. I didn't know if I was going to have a heart attack or what was going to go on, to the point where the lady was like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, just keep bringing it. So I just keep eating. And then I decided it was probably like maybe a 4 or 5 block walk home. Pretty cold out. I walked home without my jacket on and still sweating. Got home, brushed my teeth, laid down in bed and had this like weird like feeling of like full, not full, weird sleep. And I woke up. And the next morning I got up and I looked in the mirror and I was visibly leaner than I was the day before and felt great. And so I hit up Doc and I'm like, hey, do I keep eating carbs? He's like, no, we'll start with one day. And we ended up figuring out for me personally, because we did 2 days, we kind of played with it, that like one or two big carb meals was more than enough for me. Now on the protocol, we don't have the ability to kind of fine tune it. So it's 5 days with 2 days of carbs and we switch it and we put it all together for you. But for me personally, it was usually a pretty decent lunch and a big dinner of carbs on Saturday after fasting. And then Sunday I would kind of fast in the morning and just go back to my normal diet. So, but for me, I just went all out, but I was also in my early 20s and didn't necessarily have any kind of pre-existing gut conditions. Today, I don't think I could handle that week in and week out. So I think really it comes down to like when I did it for 22 Jack Street, I think I used white rice and sweet potatoes for the majority of my carbs. So how do you guys coach people through it? That was my experience.
Well, I would say it really kind of depends on the person. You know, like you were just talking about, John, your experience was that you could kind of, you know, being in your early 20s, you could go and eat that then and probably be okay. And I think it just kind of depends. I've done something similar to that, like a carb refeed. And I will say that I chose that to be something that I enjoyed, like pizza or hamburgers or whatever. And quite frankly, it was glorious. And then I had a similar experience to you where the next day you just wake up and you kind of look jacked and lean just because your muscles are soaking all that up. And I think, you know, given that this particular individual is just kind of coming off a carnivore and things like that, he may want to probably side a little bit more towards something that's a little less processed and maybe go more for potatoes, rice, anything that he can tolerate just because it's going from straight, you know, meat filet mignon all the time to adding in some carbs. It might be a little better to go with more natural type sources.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of like on any protocol when you have, you know, maybe a day not tracked or I hate the term cheat meal, but like some of my clients, I'll give, hey, 2 days a week, you just have a calorie goal instead of hitting specific macros. And so it's a little bit more relaxed on those days, but you still, you know, don't always want to go. Not everyone can handle big things of pasta and, like Rob said, those processed foods. So if you really want to push the needle and, you know, you're not a big NFL football player, I would still choose those more whole foods and good food sources, just as a general rule, every day of your life.
Well, we also have that Power Athlete Pizza was another good one I used to make. I know.
Yeah, Ingo, there's a couple pizzas up there now.
Yeah, the one that I used to make, I know Ingo has gone off and like remade it like 100 times, probably way better than mine. But that was pretty good. But I mean, to this day, I mean, for carb refeeds, at least for me, I'll cook just big sweet potatoes and strip them all down, mash them all up, and, you know, put some like a little bit of brown sugar, a little bit of butter, and then put them back with like a couple pecans on top and then just throw them in and broil them for a little bit. That to me is a awesome refeed and something that's very, very simple to do. But if you want to, you know, put your feet to the fire and you want to go out and find some pizza and go out and do it right. I mean, that was the way Marl originally prescribed it. Like, you know, you follow this diet, you've been super strict, go out and see it. And I remember after the first time we did it, he made something funny. He's like, hey, I want you to do the carb refeed. I want you to wait 20 minutes. And if you go in and go in and look in the mirror, and if you don't look bloated, I want you to add another meal. And I want you to keep adding meals until you start to bloat out. So for me, the first meal I didn't bloat, but after the second meal, I'd start to bloat was where I cut it. And as long as I stayed lean or I couldn't see it where like all of a sudden you'd be like, oh, I feel so distended. And you'd see like, you know, face bloat. Because if you think about when you're doing this diet, you do shed water. And then all of a sudden the carbs pack a bunch of water back in the cell. So it's not necessarily like you're putting on weight. You're just basically revolumizing the cell with some water.
What are some keys to success to following any nutrition protocol? Like
having a nutrition coach that can keep you on task.
Well, that's nutrition coaching. But then there's still the empowered individual that can read a spreadsheet that is intelligent enough and willing to follow a protocol. What can we tell them to put them in a position to succeed?
I think preparation is certainly one of the big keys. And I think, you know, Sam will probably expand on this a little bit, but, you know, you want to set yourself up for success by making sure that you have, you know, the right tools in the pantry. You know, especially if you're going leaning protocol or keto protocol, you probably want to go through your pantry. Sorry, not panties. That would be a little weird, but your pantry and, you know, make sure you're kind of getting out.
I know you're hiding the sugar, Rob.
Well, in the panties. I mean, isn't that the place to go? You know, you want to get those things out of your pantry that's going to, you know, call to you, right? Because especially if you're going on something that's kind of restrictive like keto, those things just start to call to you. I know if my daughter's in Girl Scouts now and we're going to start this whole cookie thing. And if Girl Scout cookies are in the house, they're going to call to me. I'm going to eat the shit out of them until they're gone. But so you want to make sure you get some of those things out. And I think Sam's got some ideas around the pantry that she can expand on.
Yeah. So like getting things out of your pantry, but also getting things in. So if you, and meal tracking or doing a food diary can actually help you identify this. If you realize like, oh, I really enjoy snacking, or I'm a person that craves sweets, or I'm a person that craves savory foods, kind of identifying what your trigger foods are. because being a female, I know there are times of the month where if Girl Scout cookies are in the pantry, like most of the time I'm like, no, I'm not a sweet person. I am salty all the way, like French fries, potato chips, don't put them in front of me. But, you know, around my period, if there are cookies, I'm like, give me the whole sleeve. So just kind of, and that's from tracking and knowing my body, which is a great thing. And important for you to do, especially if you're on a protocol. But I'm off topic. So planning some meals and doing some bulk meal prep. So if you are, you know, hungry, you have something that fits in your plan ready to go in the fridge. So cut up vegetables, frozen vegetables are really easy to throw in the microwave and they're still a good quality product. And Rob, I think you have a whole blog on this, right? About how to food prep. Mm-hmm. So prepping your chicken, your ground beef, whatever protein you have, like very plain. And then when you go to reheat it, that's when you can add, you know, Italian seasoning, Mexican seasoning, different sauces and all of that to kind of make it exciting when you're prepping your meals.
Like our sauces and some of those extra things, are those kind of like a bit of a like a pitfall, like a trap, you know, like whenever we go to Whole Foods, you know, because obviously it's kind of funny. Cashew likes salad, and I think it's because of the salad dressing. So we started buying all that Primal Kitchen stuff, which has got like zero carb. But as you go through the salad dressings, the range of like of ranch. Calories and like caloric load, it's like you pick up one, you're like, oh, this has no carbs in it. And then you pick up another one, you're like, oh, this has got 50 grams of carbs per teaspoon. And you're like, you know, Mark's Primal Kitchen, it's got, you know, maybe, you know, 75 calories. I looked at another one, the same serving was like 350 calories. So I think, you know, when you're looking at doing some, you know, some different things to put on there, like make sure you take a look at what's in the bottle and just be like, oh, this looks pretty good. Let me cover this in ranch.
Yeah. And you have to be careful too, because a lot of products are, you know, fat free or whatever, but they are replacing that fat with fat that's either the certain kind of fat that your body can't actually digest, or they're replacing it with carbs, other sugars to give the flavor. So I like to, if you're going to eat something, I recommend eating it full fat or just going with olive oil and vinegar, but still monitoring it. Because if you grab, I don't know if you've ever looked at balsamic vinegar, there's a ton of sugar and carbs in that. But back to meal tracking, which is like the best way to start even before doing a protocol, is just give yourself a week baseline before you know, because then you know what to change. But you'll be like, oh my gosh, I don't know what it is off the top of my head, but a tablespoon of balsamic has a lot of sugar in it. So just knowing, but things like lemons, any sort of citrus, fresh herbs, seasonings, like Tacticalories are really good. Oh, I don't think their sauces probably aren't super friendly, but their seasonings are out of this world.
Yeah, no, I haven't really dug into on their sauces.
No, just no, fire
salt.
They
came out with some like, fire salt. I stole a lot of those from Summer Strong.
Whoa.
Why? They were free.
They were on the table.
Yeah, they were free.
They were going to throw them away.
Yeah. And on top of it, I cooked a bunch.
At Summer Strong?
Yeah. You don't remember at Summer Strong last year? Casey set up that big thing and we were flipping those huge sides of like, you don't remember that?
I was off networking.
Oh, no. That was at
hands.
Night. That was the flip-flop
that was at
guy.
Night. I was cooking.
The flip-flop guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was
it
amazing.
It was several drinks in. It was so good.
Yeah. No. Summer Strong's always a good time. It's always a good time.
Have they come out with dates this year yet?
It's always in May.
The 20th.
Yeah, it's always
2 weeks. Yeah, I actually have the date. I talked to one of their dudes.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, back to it. We'll explain the protocol experience. Like, if I am the user, what is this experience? We have, okay, I set up, I've tracked my own calories of my normal diet. Now I'm ready to start this. Is it this spreadsheet experience? Like, do I need a calculator, a weight scale? Like, what do I need to put myself in position to follow this on the line?
On the line,
I think our protocol experience is really great, especially for $50, because you get a fact sheet, the protocol spreadsheet, like the what to eat, and then kind of a document on how to use the protocol that answers a ton of common questions. And the protocol is super cool because you can put in, hey, I want, you know, 3 meals. I'm going to eat before I train. I'm going to eat after I train. I have a shake or not a shake. And it's, so it's pretty customizable in the form of a $50 protocol. But food scale would be ideal. Measuring spoons, measuring cups, measuring spoons. What else, Rob? Some way to track your progress. Like, are you going to take pictures of yourself? Are you going to step on a body weight scale? Are you going to judge it off of certain lifts getting stronger? Like, how are you going to know that you're progressing and it's working?
One of the bigger pitfalls I've encountered is people under, I guess, or maybe overestimating, because we have it kind of set to activity levels. So you're breaking rocks and we kind of go through. I think sometimes people overshoot how much they really do. Like, you know, and whenever people hit me up and they're like, hey, these numbers aren't working for me. I'm like, well, what do you do? Oh, I was putting, you know, at the highest energy output, but I sit at a desk for 10 hours. But I do work hard for 1 hour in the gym. And I'm like, ah, it's not like that. So I think that's another one. And being able to actually accurately assess, you know, what your activity level is outside the gym over the course of the day.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely one of the things that gets people in the beginning of something like that is they absolutely do overestimate how much that they do. And like, I think that especially in like the protocols, you know, whatever you think you are, you should probably go at least one less than that, right? At least one less, and then eventually kind of see how that works. You know, you, I think another thing that that sets people up for success is a little bit of reflection each week on how the week went. How well did I adhere to the spreadsheet? How well did I do all these things? And then also, if things aren't necessarily moving, be able to make an adjustment here or there. And really the activity is probably one of those places that they could make the adjustment, because most of us really overestimate how much we do, because most of us are not out there breaking rocks every day. So.
You know, Dr. Yeah. Huberman from the Huberman Institute had an interesting podcast or piece of the podcast that they looked at total energy expenditure of people that were fidgeters versus people that were not. And it was pretty interesting. Like, it's something I never really thought of, you know, because as I'm sitting here bouncing my knee, my dad would put his hand on my knee and be like, stop bouncing. Like, don't fidget. And like, I always am like moving my seat, fidgeting as much as possible. But I just thought that that was really the first time I'd ever seen people be like, there's a reason that like, you would never think that constant fidgeting would necessitate, like, you know, the difference between people being, you know, overweight and people being thin, it, you know, assuming that the calories were equated properly. But it makes a huge difference. And then when you start looking at the templates, like, you know, if you realistically sit, like we're sitting here for 8 hours a day and, you know, hit the gym for short periods of time, park in a garage, go get, you know, drive everywhere. And I mean, your energy total in terms of that fidgeting, just using that piece is really almost eye-opening a little bit. So whenever people run into it, like, oh, this feels like too many calories, I'm like, back it down. I mean, just a 45-minute CrossFit class, or, you know, going in and thrusting your face off of pull-ups, you're not really burning that much, opposed from somebody that's on their feet, you know, like you said, breaking rocks, doing manual labor. You know, I went out and I cut trees last weekend, and like, dude, you're out there for like 8 hours. I come in and I'm like, I'm fucking way more tired than if I hit the gym, just for the fact that I'm out there, you know, working a chainsaw and, you know, dragging trees and doing all this stuff.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like we were talking about the fidgeting thing, you know, it all contributes to that total daily energy expenditure. And you know, that's also something to watch out for. If you stop fidgeting, you know, eventually if you've been in some sort of caloric deficit for a very long time, you'll stop fidgeting, you'll stop moving, because your body's trying to say, hey, whoa, hold on, we're going too far here. So, you know, that's, if you can kind of be present enough to see, hey, I was a fidgeter for a while, I would sit here, you know, if I'm sitting at my desk, my, you know, my knee's going like you were saying, and all of a sudden now I'm not, that's probably a sign you need to start maybe, you know, up in the calories and getting into more of a maintenance kind of thing. Just looking out for those signs as you move along through this journey. I mean, as you're doing this, especially if you're doing it on your own and you don't have a coach, it's on you to kind of watch out for some of these things that can be pitfalls, or you go too far with things, and the next thing you know, you're just getting hangry all the time and eating everything, and you just rebound. So, you know, as a, you've got to be a little bit present. You got to be able to check yourself as you go along. So,
my advice is usually just go to bed early. That feels like where everybody makes bad decisions with their diet is as time goes on. It's like after 9 o'clock. Like if you can like eat your dinner at like 5 or 6, hang out for a little bit, do whatever, watch TV, you know, like, you know, whatever your construct looks like. And if you can start like working to bed around 8:30 and get your kids down if you have them. And then if you're like pretty much like out of the kitchen, maybe in bed around 9 o'clock, you're fine. I find that for me, like that was a huge thing. If I stayed up late, like I would just like start wandering around the kitchen looking for shit to eat. And like, oh, I'm gonna have this and this. And next thing you know, you're like, fuck, he's totally fucking crushed 500 calories, which could be the difference in the deficit. So, and I know people think like, oh, one day doesn't really matter. But if you equate out and we do the math, you can pretty much like if you, let's say you're a 2,500 calorie a day guy and you're in the deficit by 500. And then all of a sudden on the weekend, you smash it and you go over. It's pretty easy to show people like, hey, 1 or 2 days of fucking up after being good for 5 is going to really just slow down any of the gains we've made and potentially negate any of the positives that we've done Monday through Friday.
Yeah. And I think this is probably a different podcast topic, but having a sleep routine or some like practicing some good sleep hygiene, that's going to push the needle in body recomposition almost more so than your training. And like, it's going to be the where nutrition and training meet is going to happen in your sleep. So things like not looking at your phone, before bed, like using like blue light blockers, I take my magnesium, I drink my magnesium at night and then I brush my teeth. And that's like the final, nothing else is going to, I'm not going to eat anything else. And then I try not to look at my phone, and it helps you have a more restful sleep to rebuild everything that you worked hard for in the gym that day.
I like the idea of just brushing your teeth early, because after I brush my teeth, I don't want to eat. Yeah. Oh, no. I tell my kids all the time.
Like, have you ever had orange juice after brushing teeth?
Anything after brushing your teeth.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid, you like brush your teeth and drink your orange. Oh, terrible.
No, I'm with you. That's why I'm like yelling at my kids, which it's funny because I never remember my parents yelling at us to brush our teeth and shower. And I feel like I yell at my kids every single day. Did you brush your teeth? Have you showered? Like, it just feels like automatic. But then I think we probably were, you know, fucking bad breath, stinky kids too. So maybe that's just like the parental thing. Did you brush your teeth? And my daughter, like, I asked her, I'm like, hey, is there, you know, like I asked her, I'm like, hey, everything good? And anything you want to talk about? She's like, yeah, I'm really tired of you fucking harassing me about brushing my teeth. I'm like, then brush your fucking teeth. She's like, I do. So it's turned into this almost like habit, but
all right.
Yeah.
So our pal in Alaska.
Keto.
I
don't think we need to help him with his protein meals, but equate out calories. And then when you go, I don't know what they have in Alaska for carbs. I mean, I'm assuming it's like everything else. There's probably, I mean, I've never been to Alaska, so I can't speak. It's not like going to Hawaii where you're like, I think I'm going to eat all this fruit.
Spam.
Yeah. So, spam. Yeah. Do you remember like the on Seinfeld when they did the Jerry Fusilli, where the artist did like Jerry out of Fusilli?
Mm-hmm.
We're just gonna do a text out of spam, and I'm throwing it out into the universe because I'm gonna say it. Somebody's gonna listen to the podcast and they're gonna carve you out of spam.
Go for it. Hold.
That will
last forever. Spam doesn't go bad.
I got a DM from a guy yesterday who listened to the podcast where we talked about doing a like a remembrance de las muertas altar, but doing it around St. Patrick's Day. So he carved me like a leprechaun gremlin head. And he's like, hey, I want to send this to you for your altar. I'm like, great, send it. We'll put it in the podcast room. So yeah, no, if you put it out in the universe, there's a good chance that we will get a spam text.
Okay.
I'm just amazed. I'm just going to wonder, well, they're going to have to go to Costco and buy a bunch of spam. So
like, how big is this statue?
I don't know. I remember Jerry Fusilli was like this tall. It was kind of little, so we just don't need it.
Well, that old Italian man sat on it. That's what I remember from the episode. Yeah, you remember? Yeah. Did he, the yeah. couch peer guy?
Yeah.
Am I connect? Is that the same episode or am
yeah.
I like?
Yeah, that's the one. And he just gets basically.
Couch peer.
God damn it. Seinfeld's a great show. All right. So Ask and Answered. If you need more help, you can always reach out to the hotline, 929-464-464-0. 929-ING-ING-0. All right. You got it. So reach out to the hotline if you got any questions for Nutrition Ninjas, nutrition@powerathletehq.com. And if you're into training, powerathletehq/training. And
if you sign up for 1 year,
and if you sign training, up for 1 year,
2 months off plus a protocol nutrition after following your consultation, we put you in the best position to succeed yeah. training and.
And you don't really have to do anything jiggy. All you have to do is buy it. We get a spreadsheet that uploads every day. And we get to see who converts and all that. And then we reach out to you, set up the consult, and we go from there. So if you got any more questions, hit us up. You know how to get hold of us. See you.
Bye.
Now it's time for you to empower your performance. Head to powerathletehq.com/training to choose from a number of programs to meet your specific performance goals. And if you like to break a mental sweat too, visit academy.powerathletehq.com and become a real stakeholder in you or your athlete's success. Until next time, bye!
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.